Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Bishop Will T. Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life, power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teachings opportunity, please visit www.cccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15, must study, showing thyself approved unto Jehovah, a workman, needing not to be ashamed, but rightly divine word of truth. Shalom. We want to greet those who are streaming on the web with us, our English speakers and Spanish speakers. Thank you for joining us today. If you ever have an opportunity to come and visit us in person, we would certainly appreciate that. Do you all hear this morning? Shalom. And may that blessing and that peace be forever upon you. If you need a Bible, we will share with you a Bible this morning. If you raise your hand, we will share with you a Bible. I've been talking about, in the sessions that I have been preaching, about spiritual guidance. But really, putting the emphasis on that this is the last days that we are living in today. I have been noticing some things that more convince me that we are in the last day. Yeshua said, as it was in the day of Noah, that they were marrying and giving in marriage, and so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man when he comes. He said that they were doing this right up until the time that the floods came. And so the whole idea of what Yeshua was trying to share with us is that this is so subtle, this changing and coming of this evil time, that many would not recognize it. They would think it's just the regular things that they do. And he said they did it up until the time that the floods came. And when the floods came, it was too late. And so it is our responsibility. And me as an apostle of this organization to warn you of the coming of our Savior and the coming disaster that will come upon this world. Yeshua said in the 24th chapter of the book of Netanyahu, I believe, he said that in the 25th chapter, he said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. We have never seen so much death all over the world than what we're seeing right now. I was just listening to the news talking about Iraq. How many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have died in Syria. All over the world, there's conflict. But we take it as an everyday thing. Have you noticed that there are many movies today about the Bible? Many things on TV about the Bible, just enough to skew the truth, to draw and suck us in to this end time theology. The right wing, so-called Christian church, which I believe is not Christian at all, and that's my opinion. Now, if you want to run with them, that's your business. But God, there's no hate in God. There's no lies in God. And when you see the hate and the lies of this right-wing, conservative, supposed-to-be Christian movement, you know that God is not in it at all. I went to see a movie this weekend. Landon was off on his spring break. And we saw so many movies that I decided that I asked my daughter, I said, what are you? She said, Heaven is Real. And so Landon and I went to see Heaven is Real. We saw a lot of other ones that I slept on most of the time. But he said, wake up, Grandpa. But I wasn't interested in that. Heaven is Real. And it was the most cynical, misrepresentative movie that I have ever seen. And it so subtly drew you in to the concept that Yeshua was Anglo-Saxon. It was the worst brainwashing movie that I have been to in a long time. I know some of you enjoyed it. Y'all thought it was good. It didn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me that the people did not want to receive the fact that heaven is real. Because these right-wing churches, you know, they do that. They teach, they talk good. But when it comes down to what the Bible is really about in the heart, they miss it. So it didn't surprise me at all. And surely I am a controversial person, because I will tell the truth. Well, it's not only that the Anglo-Saxons don't like me, the Christian, but the black ones don't like me either. So that kind of balanced me out. That means I'm somewhere close. Amen. So we know heaven is real. Noah and all of them are talking about how bad Noah is. Man, it's a movie. It's a movie. I don't know of any movies that's not embellished, do you? And how can you take a few words about Noah and turn it into a movie about the flood? There's not a whole lot about the flood. Amen. Let's just say the flood came. Noah went into the ark. He took some animals in with him, and he was 40 days and 40 nights up on the waters. That's about it. Until they landed on Mount Ararat. And that's about it. We saw also, there's a movie out called God. And I would suppose that if you would kind of look around, you would realize that understanding in this day and age is lacking. People do not have the capacity to reason things out and come to an understanding. This world, especially America, is facing a catastrophe that is not far from happening. When you see a country decay to the point that people will rally around one person stealing grazing rights and condemn another person who has welfare. And yet there's no understanding that there's no difference in the two. The taxpayer is picking up the burden on maintaining the government land that this guy down in Nevada is grazing his cattle on for the last 20 years and won't pay. And then he has a bunch of right-wingers with guns come down to protect him against, they say, the jackbooted federals. But when you see that kind of understanding, and then the man comes out and says, yeah, and there's something I want to tell you about Negroes. I drive through North Las Vegas, and I see them sitting on the porch of these small little government houses after the implication is the government has supplied them with a house. And there's about six of them sitting on the porch. They ain't got nothing to do. They're on government subsistence. And it makes me wonder, he said, whether or not they are better off as slaves. And so we look at that and we say, oh, that's terrible. But that's been saying all over the conservative movement, even in the conservative Republican Party in Washington, D.C. Lack of understanding. People say, don't bother my Medicare and my Social Security and vote for a man who wants to abolish it. These are the things most people don't want to hear. They want to go sashaying through the daisies, pretending like everything is okay. And everything is not okay, my friend. Everything is not okay. But it is so cynical that it happens a little bit at a time, drawing you a little bit at a time into a mindset that will agree with worldly ideas. You'll begin to agree with some of the sexual orientation as if there's a race of people who are different in sex than what we have here. There is only men and women. There is only men and women. There is not an in-between. If it is, it's a fluke of nature. But I've been 7-8 years here on this terra firma, and I haven't seen one yet. But maybe there might be one out there someplace. But he wants us to begin to buy in. And once you buy in, remember that the last week we talked about how when they knew Yahweh, they glorified him not as Yahweh. Huh? And so Yahweh gave them over to themselves to do what they do. What is the natural course of the human mind as it descends into the pit? And he talked about men with men, women with women. You say, well, you're agreeing with the right wing. No, I'm not. You know, the right wing got a couple of things straight. They just got most of the stuff wrong. Amen. They want to draw us in slowly into the mindsets that when Yeshua does come, it will be like it was in the day of Noah. We would be sashaying about like nothing is going to happen. The judgment is not coming. Up until the judgment began to fall. It's not big things, my friends. It is the small things. Just the little small things that will keep drawing us into this abyss. Give you an example. Look at Songs of Solomon 12. And then we're just going to talk about the things of Yahweh today. We're not going to talk about, you know, all this other stuff that and let's look at the second chapter, the 15th verse. Take us the foxes. The little foxes. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's the little foxes. Say, take us the foxes. Everybody, look at the foxes. The little foxes that spoils the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. It is the little foxes, the little things that spoils our lives. And draws us into this worldly thinking that we could not possibly serve Yahweh. Now look at Yeshayahu 59. Now I didn't plan to be here today. Not here, I was going to be here, but I didn't plan to speak today. But look like the Yahweh worked it that I had to. So don't get mad at me if I say the things of Yahweh. Now listen at what Yeshayahu, which you call Isaiah, said concerning the end. In transgressing, 13th verse, in transgressing and lying against Yahweh. Other word, Yahweh said. Other word, I'm serving Yahweh, or God, they might say. But the Bible, Yeshayahu said they will be lying against Yahweh and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt. Don't that sound like some people today? They want to put some folks back in slavery. They want to revolt against the government because the government happens to be led by a African American. And this guy down in Nevada said he don't recognize the federal government. But they all say we are what? Christians. He said they are lying. They speak oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from their heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. We imprison more people in this country talking about justice than most of the countries together in the whole world. And we call it justice. I was at the mall the other day, and I was walking, this lady said, would you please stop and, oh, the guy said it. Would you please stop and help us sign something for these sex offenders to keep them in jail longer? And you know what my response was? We got enough folks in jail. Well, you say, do you agree with sex offenders? No, but that's what they use to make up these long terms. You know, these, no. But there are other ways to handle situations than putting people in jail forever. We have the largest prison population in the whole wide world, and most of them are African American and Hispanics. And we only represent 13% of the population of this country. And President Obama and Attorney General Holden is now trying to rectify some of that. Oh, but they're called bad names because of it. A man can have 6 pounds of cocaine, and another man have 6 rocks. And the man with 6 rocks get more time than the man with 6 pounds. Why? Because justice has been turned around backwards. And justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil make himself a prey. So when you speak the truth about evil, then you become the enemy. And Yahweh saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Yahweh is looking at this stuff. And whether we know it or not, he's taking all of this into account. Now, this brings me to my message today. This was not my message. We need, as the Church of Yahweh, we need to begin to look at where we are. We need to assess if we are really doing the word of Yahweh, or if we have been slowly been pulling away. One way we can know is that we can see what we are doing. The two greatest enemies of the Church of Yahweh, of the people of Yahweh, is money and sex. Oh, he said a bad word. No, I didn't. The two greatest enemies. And if we can look at those two things and see where we stand. Because all of what we are hearing is drawing us away from the truth of what our lives should be like, how we should live. Does it make us different? Do we stand out if we live like that? Yes, we do. And that's what it's all about. It's all about being the light of the world. It's all about being a city that is set on a hill which cannot be hid. It's all about standing out in a world of darkness. People see that there is light, that there is folks that are different. There is folks that stand for righteousness and justice. But we have to be able to retain the proper attitude toward Yahweh. And if we don't, then we'll have a problem. But I'm going to help you with this today. When we finish today, I hope you understand what the proper attitude is. I don't care what the world say. I don't care what the world do. All I care about is what Yahweh said and what his requirement is for me. Now, I know nobody is shouting on this message today, but if you take it to heart, you'll shout in glory. Amen. It'll be better to shout in glory than it will to shout today and go to hell. Amen. People don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. I see our band disappear. That's the nature. When you start bringing folks into the house of Yahweh who is not totally convinced in their heart, that's the nature. That's the nature. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm talking about somebody. This church is built on truth. Right from the beginning. was built on truth. That's how we got to be chosen by Yahweh to bring forth the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah, because we were built on truth. Hallelujah. 116th chapter, the right attitude of Tehillim, which you call Psalm. And we've been over this. We'll go over it a little bit more today, and then we'll get into it from a truth perspective. And the 12th verse of 116th division of Psalms says this. What? Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. We're going to talk about attitude. What shall I render unto Yahweh for all of his benefits toward me? That's the attitude. You know, as a president that once said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. We're so busy all the time trying to find out what Yahweh is going to do for us that we fail to realize our attitude should be, what are we going to do for Yahweh? That's the attitude. How can I please Yahweh? What can I give back to God for all the benefits that he has given me? That's the attitude. Is that still your attitude today? Not how can I fulfill the lust of my flesh? How can I fulfill my own desire, the desires of my mind? Not what do I want and what would please me, but what will please Yahweh? What can I give from my life to Yahweh? Because I recognize all the benefits that Yahweh has given to me. Then the 13th verse talks about taking salvation. But I want to go to the 14th verse. I will pay my vows unto Yahweh now in the presence of all his people. This idea of vows, sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we take it from a negative sense. Nada in the Hebrew simply means promises. What I will pay, I will do what I promise Yahweh that I will do. There is a genetic structure in the spirit. And you know what genetic structure sort of means. It determines how you respond, how you will turn out, or what kind of person you will be. There's a genetic structure in the spirit that when a person is truly saved, has truly accepted Yeshua as their Savior, has believed in the blood, his blood, and have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, they receive the genetic structure of the Spirit. Y'all didn't get that. And the first thing that they will say is, Father, I will serve you. If you have, and the next thing they would say, whatever you say, I will do it. If you did not do that when you got saved, you are probably not saved, because the genetic structure says that that is the first thing that a believer says: I will serve you. Am I right or wrong? I'll serve you, God. I'll serve you all my life. I'll do whatever you want me to do. How many of you are saved today? How many of you said to God when you got saved, I'll serve you? I'll do whatever you want me to do. Somewhere along the line, you see, that was a vow. That was a promise. It became sacred because you made it in the spirit to the spirit who is Yahweh. And it became holy. It became sacred. And then we didn't necessarily do that. Are y'all understanding me? I want you to say it again. Father,
Father,
I'll serve you.
I'll
do whatever you want me to do. But the roads of our lives are strewn with broken promises. As we look back on where we have been, we see broken promises laying on the highway that we have just traversed. And we don't understand the importance of that, and the importance, how that affects our relationship to Yahweh. I want you to look at Devarim 23. Everybody got Devarim 23? And let's go to the 21st verse. When thou shalt vow a vow unto Yahweh, thou Elohim, or thou God. Now listen. When you vow a vow unto Elohim, Yahweh Elohim, your God, that becomes important. When thou shalt vow a vow unto Yahweh thy Elohim, thou shalt not slack to what? To pay it. Notice, when you make a vow, then you owe a debt of that vow to Yahweh. Slack means that you should not come up short in paying the vow. For Yahweh thy Elohim will surely require it of thee. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. I'll show you what's in the New Testament, but just stay with me here while we're here. When you make a vow to God, Yahweh will surely require that vow be paid. And it would, let's read that. And it would what?
Be sin.
It would be what?
Be sin.
Sin to who? Sin to you. When you make a vow and don't pay the vow, then it's sin to you. Because you made a sacred promise to God. Now, don't get excited. It don't mean you have to go to hell, because we always repent of that. Right? But we can't keep repenting all our lives. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall not be sin to thee. You didn't have to say that. You didn't have to make that promise to God. You made that promise yourself. If you didn't make the promise, then it's not sin to you. But you made the promise what? Yourself. That, 23rd verse, that which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform. Even a free will offering. Now notice I said one of the major problems that's going to affect the Christian is going to be what? Money and sex. And, you know, just flip a coin and see which one comes first. It's sad, isn't it? That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering. You say to God, I will give my tithes and my what? Offering. You made a promise to God of what you would do. If he would bless you with some money, you would give to him, didn't you? That's a vow. Now watch this. You say, well, are you saying it's just because we ain't paying our tithe? Yeah. Because it's affecting you. Your blessings is being affected. Your relationship is being affected. According as thou hast vowed unto Yahweh thy Elohim, which thou hast promised. See, vow is just a what? A promise that thou hast promised with thy what? Mouth. You know, Yaakov said, the tongue is a little member, but look at the great fire that it kindles. You need to be careful what you say. And when you say it, you ought to mean it. Now look at Bamidbar, which you would call Numbers 30. First verse, Bamidbar 30. And Moshe spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. Somebody said, commanded means ordered. He gave an order. Yahweh gave an order. He commanded. He gave an order. And if you are his people, you ought to be marching by his orders. Am I right or wrong? Amen. If a man, and here's the commandment, if a man vows a vow unto Yahweh and swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not or she shall not break his or her word. He or she shall do according to all that proceedeth out of their mouths. Nowadays, we take promises and vows very lightly. Sometimes we just say something to get people off our back. Amen. We don't take, when you came to the church and when I came to the church, first thing, I'll serve you, Father. I'll do whatever you said, what? For me to do. One thing he said, you got to live holy. So I had to put aside other women. Sad day, huh? It was a good day. Anybody can stoop to illicit sex. You don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa. But from the Phi Beta Kappa to the grade, to somebody who hasn't finished grade school, anybody can stoop to that. That is the most democratic thing in the world. Everybody has an opportunity. But you made a what? You made a vow. You said to God, I'm going to what? I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live righteous. I'm going to live according to your what? To your word. But this is what makes the difference between the God person and the non-God person. But I was tempted. Who isn't? Y'all look at me, right? Look. Everybody is tempted. From 8 to 80, we're tempted. And maybe above 80, because I'm 78. And the temptation hasn't stopped yet. So everybody's tempted. It's not that you're tempted, it's how you respond to that what? Temptation. Sometimes it's simply a spirit. That spirit tells you you got to have somebody. Every time you look at them, they look finer and finer and finer. They're just walking and you love the way you see moves and don't nobody else see. Help us, God. Amen. And that's an incident in the Bible. But one of the sons of David just thought he had to have his sister. Half sister, you know. When you have a lot of wives, you have a lot of half brothers and sisters. It was a half brother. I think her name was Tara. The Bible said he lusted so much after this girl that he got sick. Man, lust can rattle your head. It can make your brain tighten up. Yes, it can. And my brain is locked several times. Amen. But it's how you respond to that. So this boy said, I got to have her. I got to have her. I can't live except I have her. And you know what I mean when I say have her. I have to sleep with her. And so he cooked up this scheme. His servant, he said, go tell her that I'm sick. And she would make me a little soup and stuff and bring it to me. And so, you know, she being his sister, and he's sick, and he asked her to make him a little soup. Surely she did that. And she brought it to him, and he said, oh, I got to go lay down. Would you bring it to the bedroom? And she brought it to the bedroom. And he grabbed her, and he raped her. And when he was finished, was a spirit. That spirit wanted to bring discourse in the family of the king. He hated her. He despised her. And he threw her out of the house. That caused many of David's sons to die. Because her brother Absalom set it in his heart, I am going to get even for what he did to, what my half-brother did to my sister. And he killed him. But we look at it as, I gotta have it. And if you've been like me, when it all came to pass, you hated what you had done. It is getting quiet, isn't it? Second verse of the 30th chapter. Let's go back. If a man vows a vow unto Yahweh or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his or her word. He shall do according to all that proceeded out of his or her mouth. Sometimes it's hard to let go, people, but you got to let it go. Now you say, but that's Old Testament. Look at Netanyahu 12. I'm going to get you all out of here on time, look like. Somebody said time already. No, it's not. Man, I can hear you. Thirty-sixth verse. But I say unto you, this is written in red, that means it's who? It's Yeshua. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy word thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be what? Thou shalt be condemned. Let's skip over, I got to hurry, to Malachi. You call it Malachi. That's the last one in the Old Testament. Now, I want us to look at this and see if this applies to us. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. If you find yourself in that position, Yahweh says, do what? Return. Amen. Return unto me, and I will do what? Return unto you. Saith Yahweh Zeviot, or Yahweh of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? And the Hebrew said, for what shall we return? This is called denial. Y'all know what that is? Somebody brings something to your attention and your first response is to do what? Deny. So he says, for what? Yahweh was listening to them, you know, in their thinking. Like I was listening to some of you who said it was time to go already. So they said, for what? Yahweh said, return unto me and I'll return unto you. And they said, for what shall we return? Other words, what did we do that will cause us to be gone away in the first place? It's called denial. Somebody said, well, you wouldn't deny something to God. Yes, you will. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody brought to your attention that you're wrong, and what do you say? Says who? What
that I do. You got any proof? And they say, for what? And then he tell them, for what? He said, will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, for what have we what? Robbed you. And then he answered, he says, in tithes and offerings. You made a vow. You said, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to do your word. I'm going to live for you. And then when it came down to your money, you changed your mind. Ain't got it. You got it in your pocket. But you've already spent it. You already spent it in your head for something you want. He said, you have robbed me. How did you rob me? Because you promised that you would do my word. And you didn't. So you owe me. Amen. Man, you know what I do? I give more than tithe, Lord, just to make sure I didn't come up slack. Amen. And he asked in tithes and offer. And then he said this, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Goy doesn't necessarily mean nation. Mean people. All you people, he said, you have robbed me. You're cursed. English text says, with a curse. So the English text have the connotation that Yahweh now is going to come down and curse you because you didn't do what you promised to do. That's not what this scripture means. Now let me read it from the Hebrew, the ninth verse. From within the curse, you was cursed. Now listen to that. Yahweh didn't come down and curse you, but there is a thing called a curse that is laid out there, and you entered in. You entered in. It's out there for those who won't do the right thing. Y'all are not cursing people and cursing people. That stream was laid down before the foundation of the world that everyone who do evil enters into that stream of cursing. And so Yahweh said, you're cursed within the curse. You voluntarily entered the curse when you broke your promise. You're cursed within the curse. And all you are robbing me, all people, all of them. He says, you're cursed within the curse. But listen to what he says in the 10th verse. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be what? Meet a substance in my house and prove me. Now, herewith saith Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. Watch this.
10th verse in the Hebrew. Bring them all the tithes unto the house, the treasury, and exist substance of food in my house. Test me. Say, test me. If you don't believe it, he said, test me. Do it and see. Test me in this, say Yahweh of hosts. If not, I will open to you the windows of heaven, and I will pour you blessings until no want of sufficiency. Yahweh said, that's a way to get out of this stream of cursing. He said, bring you all the tithes and offer them into my house, that there might be substance in my house. Test me. Try me. And see if I will not pour you out a blessing that you will have no want of sufficiency. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, Baal, the one that eats up. You can have a good job bringing in buku money, as old folks used to say. How many of you still remember buku money? Bringing in buku money and still be in debt over your head, and every time you think you are getting ahead, something goes wrong that takes your money. You say, this week I'll have a little extra, and the car breaks down. This week, I'm going to be able to spend a little bit more on myself. And the insurance payment comes in. Every time you think you're getting ahead, something happens and your money is taken away from you, devoured. Sometimes you look around at the end of the month and you say, I don't know where it all went. Yahweh says, there's an entity of spiritual being that's in the world. He's called Baal. And he's trying to consume your money, your substance. He's trying to take it away from you. Well, if you have broken promises with Yahweh, Yahweh can't do. He won't do anything about it. But he said, if you'll try me, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. He said, and I will bless you all you people. What the Hebrews said. I will bless all of you who do the right thing. I'll bless you all. For the land will be to you a land of delight, saith Yahweh Zeviot, or Yahweh But he says, in another place, he says, your sin have separated between me and you. But the wonderful thing about Yahweh, he's a God of mercy. And so he says to the people, yeah, you are within the curse, but if you'll do the right thing, I said, Mr. Daniel said, I'll cut the curse off. Well, that's not exactly true. I'll pull you out of the curse. The stream is always there for those who want to go that way. But I'll intercede on your behalf until you come on out of there. Hallelujah. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. But you got to try me. You got to test me and see what I will do. And yet people sit in the pew and they said, for what will I test you? My brothers and my sisters, if you look back at the window, just everybody turn around, look back. Look back at the window. There's so much light out there, isn't it? But my brothers and sisters, it might look light out there, but it's dark out there. It's dark out there. The only light is the church. Yeshua said, I am, first of all, the light of the world. If any man believeth in me, he shall not walk in darkness. And then he turned around and said, now you are the light of the world. A city set on the hill. We cannot mix light and darkness. You cannot mix oil and water. Light must remain light, and darkness will remain darkness until the light shines in darkness. It can be dark out there, but you can light one little match and look like a whole area just lights up. My brothers and sisters, this is a new day. Yahweh is speaking in new terms to his people. And he's saying it's time for us to return. He said, if you return unto me, I will return unto you. Don't you sit there and say, for what? What you say is, I will return. He said, try me. You don't say, for what? You said, I will do that and try you and see if you will not bless me. It's not about Jack and Jill. You, Jack and Jill, went up the hill to get a pail of water, but Jack fell down. But because Jack fell down, don't mean you have to fall down. Huh? It's all up to you. It's your choice. It's only between you and God. It's not between your neighbor and God. It's not between you and the next saint and God. It's between you and God. I'm not going to do something just because you do it. I'm going to do what Yahweh says for me to do. It's time for us to leave the darkness and come back to the light. Look at
your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm headed for the light. I'm headed for the light. Because he said, in the darkness you will stumble, but in the light you will see those things. You cannot see the pitfalls in the dark. Bow your heads. You may be here today. Yes, it wasn't a shouting.